And the scripture says that there was a time when there were idols in the land.
All right.
You all know about idols. We have them in the land where we are, where we worship sometimes anything but God.
Go ahead.
Sometimes we trust anything and everybody.
Come on now, Pastor.
But God.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Sometimes we don't love
my Lord
anything but everything.
All right.
And all but God. And so in this time, here was the servant and prophet Isaiah. One that really loved God. And he said in his word, in this word, the chapter 46, where God spoke through him to say these words, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, and who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you."
Amen.
So we wanted to talk to you about how or when God appreciates.
Amen.
When God appreciates. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day, for your many blessings. We thank you for the word that you have given to us today. God, we ask that you will bless it and let it not return void. May it accomplish the purpose in which you have intended. In Jesus' name, we pray. The fighter version of the Bible says, "God, who is self-existent, needs nothing. He has everything at his disposal to make bear and carry." This back part.
Yep, that's good.
All right.
Thank you.
Give me the attention. So I got a big,
we want to see you, Pastor.
Amen. And God too will save those he chooses.
That's right.
Anybody ever want God to rescue you?
Huh.
Yeah.
In times of trouble and disappointment.
Yes.
Do you want God to rescue you?
Yes.
Let me, of course, raise my hand. Oh, I see all the hands. Amen.
Amen.
Because we need God.
Yes.
To rescue us.
Yes.
And we always are talking about times of trouble. We need God to rescue us in times of trouble and when and whenever he chooses. The Christianity.com Bible says that our spiritual life is upheld by his grace.
Yes.
That unmerited favor that we gained.
Thank you, Lord.
Something we didn't look for.
Huh.
Something we couldn't pay for.
Uh-huh.
But God gave it freely.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
As constantly as our natural life by his providence. And God will never leave there. I know there's somebody here who wants God to be with us forever.
Amen.
Never leave us.
Amen.
Then the Message Bible that I love says, I'll be there. Bearing you when you're old and gray. I've done it. And I will keep it on doing it. Carrying you on my back.
Thank you, Lord.
Saving you. There's a running joke in my family because my son came out last weekend, last week, saying to me, I'm starting to get some gray hair on my chest. Well, so then I look back and laugh. Because I have maybe one, maybe two gray strands up here. But everything else is black. And then I happen to take a look over at my beautiful bride, who I've been knowing for 40 years. And I said in jest, you happen to get that from her side.
You're right, Pastor.
My mother-in-law is here today, so she knows because she got a head full. Her daughter's got a head full. And now her grandson, her son, got a head full. I just laugh because you can't find no gray. I don't even have to comb it. All I gotta do is wave it down. And it stays black. God is saying that he will bless us through young age, through old age, through middle age. Doesn't matter what the age is. God is with us. God appreciates us and he carries us and he lifts us and he upholds us with his righteous right hand.
Amen. Bless the name of Jesus, man. For he is the sweetest name of all.
Yes, Lord.
And I'm glad about it because I think Pastor Keith is going to call or need to call on his name. Been picking at me this morning, but it's all good. It's all good. I love him anyway. We are, of course, in our celebratory mode today as we lift up you, our congregants, some who have been here since the beginning, others who have joined along the way. But wherever you fit in, we're just happy, happy, happy that you have. And my assignment for a few moments is just to kind of look a little bit at 2 Samuel in chapter number 9. And Reverend Swan read that for your hearing. And many of you are familiar with that story in chapter number 9 because it is a story where we actually see David showing kindness, showing some appreciation for his friend. It's Saul's grandson, but it's the son of Jonathan, who was near and dear to David. And the thing that I wanted to share with you is when you look at this text, one of the things that kind of pops out at us is that David is one of those people who have more than one side to him. Come on, somebody. David, he knows how to do things right, but every now and then he slips up and he does some things that would not be precious nor pleasing in the sight of God. And I know that each one of us here, each one of you listening, can identify. Yes. Sometimes we get it right, and yes, other times we may fall short. And some might say sometimes we miss the mark.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. And so In this situation, though, we find David's good side showing. Amen. Amen. And it's so nice when we can show our good side to the world. That side of us that we know that God is working in us and through us. When I think about our good side, I can't help but to kind of look back into the very beginnings of creation when God made man and he made all the things that he made. And if you read it in Genesis 1, it'll tell you that God looked at his stuff and said, all of this is very, very good. So we know that God intended for us to have a good side and for us to be good and to show good to the world. But we know that did not last very long. So every now and then when we get a glimpse as to what goodness looks like and what that kindness looks like, we know that God has made us in such a way that goodness still is a part of our lives.
Amen.
In the church this morning. Yeah. But as I look at this word, I can't help but to think that there was a reason why God interjected this particular story into the word, because I think that because it shows how one person can be kind to another, even when the earlier circumstances didn't look like they would, that it would turn out like it did. I'm saying that because you all know that David and Saul had an interesting relationship, right? It started out one way, and David started playing music, and it always calmed Saul down when he was tormented by that evil spirit. But something came over Saul over the course of time, and he believed that David was trying to usurp his authority, or David was trying to look better than him when they started singing that Saul had killed his thousands. But David, oh my God, David was the man, and he ended up killing his 10,000, and something came over Saul, and Saul spent many years hunting David down and trying to destroy him and trying to kill him. But one thing that I will say that we read in the Bible is that God never allowed Saul to kill David, and he never allowed David to kill Saul, even though Saul was after him, even though David had opportunity to do just so. But as time went on and Saul was off the scene and Jonathan was off the scene, and here comes David, is still doing what David does. He runs into he has a question on his heart. He says, I wonder if there's anybody left in Saul's family that I can show some kindness to. Have you ever looked back on your life and tried to find somebody that you can show kindness to? I'm telling you, kindness can go a mighty long way in people's hearts. Amen. Kindness is one of those things that we don't soon forget. And I love it when people are kind to me. Not very long ago, somebody showed some extra special kindness unto me. And I was like, for real? You really gonna do that? Because it was something that I did not see coming. But it was out of the kindness of their heart. There's something special about kindness. Kindness shows something. It helps people to kind of lift up their head and let people know that they are seen and that they are valued. I love it. But what I like about this text is, and as we look at it, we see where when Ziba was the servant whom David was asking the question. David said, do you know of anybody who's left in the family that I can show some kindness to? And Ziba says, yes. He says, there is one named Mephibosheth, and he is the son of Jonathan. But what's interesting is he doesn't point out his best qualities.
Go ahead.
You know, when we are going to tell somebody about somebody, normally we will say, well, he's this, or he has that, or he has this experience, or he has that experience, or he has this kind of a personality, or he is so funny, or whatever is good about that person. But Ziba doesn't say that about Mephibosheth. He does not look at his good stuff. Doesn't say that Mephibosheth is good looking. He was the best looking boy in the bunch. Doesn't say he's smart and he has all of these degrees and all of these honors. But what he does is he points out Mephibosheth's disability.
Okay.
Points out his disability. Now, we all have opportunity to point out people's disabilities.
That's
right. We all have opportunity to point out people's shortcomings.
Yes.
We do. And often we take that opportunity, hallelujah, to Jesus, to say, well, but they're this or they're that. And we give those negative things. But Ziba points to his weaknesses instead of his strength. But you know what I love? Even with that, David still says,
come on.
Bring him here.
Go ahead.
Come on.
Bring him here. Yeah. I still want to meet him. I still want to see him. I still want to bestow something upon him.
Yeah.
And when David gets to see Mephibosheth and they're in the same space, he says to him, he said, I don't want you to worry because, you know, Mephibosheth, I'm sure, had already known that David and his family, they didn't get along all the time. They had some tension between them. But he still says, I don't want you to worry. He said, because this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you back the land of your grandfather. I'm going to give you back all the stuff that belonged to him. And then, on top of that, I'm going to have you sit at my table.
Amen.
Now, that is really a very special thing. Can I just tell you that God really doesn't need us to do anything for him. Yet he keeps on pouring out his own kindness on us in ways that sometimes go straight over our heads. Sometimes he does things for us that we miss from beginning to end. We don't even see that it was the hand of God. I am so believing that when Mephibosheth understood that what was happening in his life at that moment was David was showing kindness to him because in verse 8 it says that Mephibosheth, it doesn't say where he thanks him. It doesn't say that he said, well, how can this be? But he said, why are you showing me kindness? A dirty dog like me.
My Lord.
See, what he's showing is that he didn't feel like he deserved what it was that he was getting. And I can tell you that is one thing about kindness. Sometimes we don't deserve the kindness that folks bestow upon us. But people do it anyhow. And how many of you are grateful for the kindness that people show in your life? You know you can't pay it back. It will take you a lifetime to give back to them what they have given to you. But that's the wonderful thing about kindness.
Yes.
When you are kind, you don't expect people to do anything back.
Right.
But I believe that Mephibosheth's heart was rejoicing in that moment. You see, God is so amazing to us. He's so amazing, and he gives that kind of kindness to his creation. He loves us. He continually pours out on us. But the question I have before I go to my seat is this. Do we give God back to him that which he pours out onto us? That's what we are needing to understand and reflect on. You know, just to say, God, am I honoring you when my life has not gone the way I thought?
Yes,
do I still follow your commands at those moments when I'm not sure which way to go?
That's right. My Lord.
And I bet if we took a poll in this room, we would find out that most of us would say, No, we do not always give God
That's right.
what it is that he asks of us. Once again, many times we miss the mark.
Yes.
Yet he continues to pour out his love over and over and over again on us. And all we have to do is think about what he did for us over 2,000 years ago, and he took that cross upon his shoulders, and he walked that road all the way to Calvary's Hill, and then they hung him on it. All of that was showing us how much he loved us, pouring out on us.